Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Saints, I want to talk about the crossless wolves of the modern church and what really is an antichrist. We hear that term from the New Testament, it appears, especially in 1 John chapter 2, 18 and 4, chapter 4. The Apostle John said that there are many antichrists. Even 2,000 years ago, there were many antichrists, and Paul told us that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. That is, as we approach the soon return of Christ. So perhaps biblically we could observe that there's never been an hour, a time in history, an era in history where there's more antichrist, that is, those posing as representatives of Christ while misrepresenting Him and deceiving many. That's what Jesus said that is going to happen. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. You and I know, if we are students of Holy Scripture and uphold God's Word, His written Word, as the final divine authority, that there are so many biblically illiterate people claiming to be Christians. And one of the things that I'm going to throw in here is this. We've never had more Bibles, so-called Bibles, not all of them are Bibles, even though they say Holy Bible on the cover, in history. Yet we've never had a day when there are so many biblically illiterate people who claim to be Christians. Why? Because everybody's reading from a different storybook. That is, unless you're reading from the King James Bible. We got a huge cache of information on this topic. If you'll, on Safeguard Your Soul, look at the category Bible Versions Issue, I think it's called, in the drop-down menu. That's a fascinating and very revealing and even shocking category full. It's a treasure trove of information. I want to encourage you to get a King James Bible, not because I think it's the best, but because it obviously is the preserved Word of God, the fulfillment of Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. God promised that He was going to preserve His Word to all generations. That would include ours. And so as you compare the versions, you're going to see that they all can't be from God. God certainly wouldn't have removed or added to, especially removed, things that He stated, because God is unchanging. Colossians 1:14, for example, the new quote-unquote Bibles remove the blood of Christ, without which we cannot be saved. God gave no man permission to tamper, add to, or take away from His Word, and any man who participates in such is going to receive of the plagues of the book of Revelation, including having their name removed from the book of life, Revelation 22:18 and 19. Let's delve into the crossless modern church. Notice there's no way that we could possibly begin to give even a small sampling of the false teachers and false teachings and influencers of the modern false church. But we'll hit on one. We'll use one. And mostly I want to pray that God blesses us to discern the truth from error. In fact, that's what Ezekiel 44:23 tells us, that true under shepherds are going to teach His people, He said, My people, to discern between the holy and profane. And they shall teach My people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern, that's a Bible word, discern between the unclean and the clean. Any man that is walking with the Lord truly and is a true, humble under shepherd is teaching you to discern. That That alone tells us something, because so many men are not warning against the many false prophets. They're not teaching God's people to discern. Why is that? My guess is that they don't want to be discerned themselves. They don't want you to discover that they're false. If you love somebody and you're walking in God's love, you're going to be protecting them. Anyone who's a parent knows that you will spank your child, you will tell your child, don't you dare go near that street. Why? Because you hate them? No, because, just the opposite, because you love them. Warning is for protection, and Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and he said, feed my sheep, and that would include to preach, warn, and teach, as the apostolic model is. Colossians 1:28, Paul said he did three things to prepare the body of Christ for the return of Christ. PWT, preach, warn, and teach. Notice, not just preach and teach, but preach, warn, and teach. You see, mark those who cause division contrary to the doctrine that we have in Holy Scripture once delivered to the saints. That's Romans 16, 17, and 18. So many false prophets shall arise. Here they are. Satan, knowing that he hath but a short time, has come down with great wrath. And much of the wrath he's pouring out, if you will, to rob the kingdom of heaven of souls, is through the invasion of the many false prophets which are going out among you. And they shall deceive many, not a few, but many. Matthew 24:11. And one of those false prophets, one of the many, is a man named Chris Vallotton. Chris with a K, Vallotton, V-A-L-L-O-T-T-O-N. He's part of the Bethel cult. All of those guys are devils without exception. No different than everyone involved in the false prophetic movement and the word of faith are false. You can't be a part of that movement and be true. You've got to buy into their system, their doctrines, which are anti-Christ. So see if you see something wrong with this. I'm going to read something that came out of Bethel Church, Redding, California. And they got so many wannabe churches all over the country. Anything connected with Bethel is an anti-Christ organization or church. Now notice, this came out recently. They said this: God is leading us into a metamorphosis, a season of transformation, to fully step into what God has for us. We need to let go of what is no longer serving us and embrace the future God is calling us into. Notice the promise here. He continues, on Sunday, June 13th, Chris Vallotton spoke an incredible message about the church's season and how God is turning our ashes into our greatness. Your ashes are the seeds of your greatness. Notice, he uses, that's unquote, finish the quote. So notice, and many of you caught this already, I'm sure, notice that they use the words our greatness and your greatness, quote unquote. No such words are found in the Bible. Joel Osteen and some of these other frauds call you a champion. And what's the Asian guy? I can see Joseph something. You know who I'm talking about. They call us the champions. We're the champions. Not Christ, us. See, no such words such as champion or other than Jesus is the captain of our salvation, the one and only, not us. Our greatness, your greatness, champ, none of that's found in Scripture. No such words. According to the record of Holy Scripture, Jesus Christ is wonderful. Isaiah 9:6-7, not you. You are wicked without Christ, and so am I. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So he's the wonderful one. We're wicked without him and without hope. Without him, we're desperately wicked and are only made righteous by he alone, who is the righteous one, Jesus Christ, the divine Savior from heaven. As 1 Timothy 6 puts it, the blessed and only, capital P, potentate or supreme ruler, speaking of Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Quote unquote, 1 Timothy 6, Verse 15 and 16, notice the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7:18 that there's no good thing that dwelleth in me, that is in my flesh. And we must all agree, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, students of Holy Scripture, any disciple of Christ is a student of Holy Scripture. And that's the definition of the remnant wise virgin believers who are going to be with Christ. They're going to hold to, learn, devour, and live out Holy Scripture. And Paul said it again, Romans 7:18. There is no good thing that dwelleth in me, that is in my flesh. So we don't have greatness, our greatness, your greatness, as Bethel Church and false teacher Chris Valaton supposes. Paul said also, Romans 7:24, who, O wretched man that I am, not just that I was, but that I am, that means outside of Christ. That doesn't mean he's living in sin. That means he's wicked outside of Christ. In other places, he teaches that you must crucify the flesh. Right there, all in Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, everywhere. You must crucify the old man and put on the new man. So it's not only past, but present without Christ. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jeremiah 17:9 speaks of those us who are desperately wicked, not just wicked, but desperately wicked. That's the testimony of Scripture on fallen mankind. The heart, think about it. The heart means the center, the source. The heart is deceitful above all things, and not only wicked, but desperately wicked. Who can know it? So that's what Scripture says. False teachers speak of us in terms of being our own saviors, our greatness, your greatness. These antichrists preach nothing ever about the blood of Christ's cross, the daily cross that he commanded us to take up if we're going to follow him, otherwise we're not following him. That is the crucified life. You must deny yourself, take up your cross in order to follow him. Luke 9:23 and 24, etc. They never teach about the cross of Christ, the cross he told you to take up, if you're going to follow him, the essential of repentance and holiness, eternal damnation, judgment to come, etc. Faith in God, not self, is another one. It's without which it is impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. See, these are a sampling of the essential doctrines of the original gospel, which means anyone not preaching them is preaching another gospel and is accursed. Galatians 1:6-9. Notice they're teaching contrary also too. They're not only not teaching the essential foundational doctrines of the original gospel, they're teaching false doctrine against what we see in Holy Scripture. That's why it's so important, saints, that we daily, not weekly or every other day, but daily, that's how Jesus qualifies your walk with him, otherwise you don't have one. We must study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that takes work. Workmen that yet no work is more rewarding. Amen. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's no way that I or you can rightly divide the word of truth unless we're studying, devouring the word of God. Amen. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16, Job 23:12. He says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Now, compare how much emphasis, money, and time you spend on physical food to your involvement directly yourself in the Word of God. That'll be an interesting telling examination, and only the honest will take that to heart and actually do it. Compare how much emphasis you put on physical food, how much money and time you pour into it compared to how you interact with the words of God. Again, Job 23:12 tells us, he said, I have esteemed, this is a man of God, the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Wow, what a blessing. Also, Psalm 1 tells us that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that's what you're going to do. automatically. If you're not walking in the counsel of God, you're going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, that is the God-fearing man, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. That's how God defines prosperity and success. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, that is the Bible, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God does not define prosperity and success in dollar figures. That is not the way. In fact, Jesus said, that which is highly esteemed in the eyes of men, money, is an abomination to the Lord. So, sinful man and the cross of Christ, let's talk about it. Most importantly in discerning false prophets is to learn the definite article of the original gospel, saints. And unless you study to show yourself approved of the original gospel, perhaps you want to start in the book of John and Romans. Romans is called the ABCs of the Christian faith. We're going to read a passage out of Romans 3 right now. And I'm going to say this. This disciple, myself, isn't sure there have ever been more beautiful words spoken or penned than this passage right here. Listen to this, Romans 3:24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, that means atoning sacrifice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen. Romans 3:24 through 26. The record here of Holy Scripture speaks of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, not in us, or our greatness, as this false church and false prophet Chris Vallotton said. The redemption is in Christ, not in us. So the record of Scripture here speaks of this redemption that is in Christ Jesus and not in man, not in us. How could hopelessly sinful man possibly redeem sinful man? How can a sinner forgive or redeem another sinner? Impossible. If man could save himself, why would the Father have ever sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins? Jesus alone made peace between a holy God and fallen mankind, having redeemed mankind, quote, through the blood of his cross. Notice Colossians 1:20, speaking specifically of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Don't you just love that term? The blood of his cross. Wow. Wow. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, that is Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20. The reconciliation of all things back to a holy God after man had fallen is only possible through the blood of Christ's cross. Amen. Now catch this, Antichrist, in context of all that we're talking about here, Antichrist, you got to remember this, it doesn't only mean against Christ, more insidiously, it means in place of Christ. This is going to change your life right here. Antichrist means in place of Christ. So when false teachers in their messages, their words, when they're not repeating the biblical truth that man is hopeless, man is desperately wicked, and instead are elevating sinful man as if he's his own savior, they are putting man in the place of Christ, who is the only savior. They are factoring Christ out of the only salvation the Father has provided, that is, in the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. And that's exactly what they're doing when they speak in terms of what? Your greatness, our greatness. God is bringing us into our greatness. This is pagan New Age, elevation of sinful mankind. That's exactly what this is. This is called self-actualization, as if there's any greatness in us that is outside of Christ. They're not preaching Christ. They're preaching your greatness. See, they're preaching this antichrist doctrine that puts you in place of Christ. The true believer says, I am a wicked man. Amen. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There is no good thing. The true disciple of Jesus Christ is following him and no other and nothing other than his word. And he says with Paul, there is no good thing that dwells in me. No, nothing but Christ, that is, nothing in my flesh is any good. See, there's none good, not one. That's what we read in Romans 3, verse 10. But it was Christ who, through the blood of his cross, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He paid the ultimate price, shedding his own divine blood on the altar of the cross to reconcile us to God. So is this Antichrist doctrine, these messages that only one of which we're reviewing today about our greatness, is this epidemic? Yes, it is. It's absolutely epidemic. Remember, Jesus said that there would be many false prophets who would deceive many. Matthew 24:11. So God gives us continual warnings about false teachers and these antichrists. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that antichrist shall come, perhaps that's the one definite article of the ultimate expression of antichrist in that man of sin who is to come, 2 Thessalonians 2. Even now, John says, are there many antichrists? So it seems to convey what we see in the whole of Scripture, that there's going to be one antichrist, but there are many antichrists, he said, already, whereby we know that it is the last time, 1 John 2:18. See, all those who don't preach the cross of Christ and the one he commanded us to take up are antichrists. Paul calls them the enemies of the cross of Christ. And he says also there in Philippians 3:18-19, that their God is their belly, their carnal appetites. That's really what they're serving, is their own agenda. And they aren't and haven't repented. But yet they are preaching a false gospel, and many are being deceived by it. Listen closely to what they're saying, friends. Take a step back and discern prayerfully against holy writ, just like the Bereans, who when Paul preached, they discerned by their study of Scripture daily whether or not he was telling the truth or preaching a false gospel. Acts 17:10-11, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. It was a town called Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that is the Berean disciples. And here it is, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily. They studied to show themselves approved unto God, that they might rightly divide the word of truth. As we reviewed earlier in 2 Timothy 2:15, a verse I want to encourage you to memorize. And I also want to encourage you to get to know this passage here. It's going to be very essential for you, especially in this last hour before Christ's return. You got to learn to search the scriptures daily, as did the Bereans. And it's only then that you're going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. Just like these beautiful, beloved Berean believers who God says were more noble. I don't know about you. I want God saying that I'm more noble. And he will to all of us who study daily to show ourselves approved and weigh everything in the balance. Even men of great reputation in the gospel, we must weigh everything they teach against the final authority standard of the written word of God, which is exactly what these Berean disciples did. I mean, wait a minute. If you're going to listen to one man and take him at his word on the planet that's ever lived under the New Testament era, other than our Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be Jesus' disciple Paul. I mean, I don't think you can have much of an argument about that. As many things as we disagree on or see in a different way, that's not one of them. I don't know a Christian that would argue that. So why didn't the Bereans just take Paul at his word? Because they trusted God, not Paul. Paul himself said he was merely a messenger of the Lord. That's what apostle means. Okay, these people, these beloved disciples are an example to us. Christ was their core identity. No man died for their sins except Christ. Nailing those to the cross and being buried and raised again from the dead. There's only one nail-scarred, risen Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. Paul himself said he did not want to and did not come deliberately to the Corinthians with excellency of speech. He said, I determined not to know anything among you except save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So was Paul upset that the Bereans didn't take him at his word? No, he rejoiced at that. And Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. See, a lot of these pastors, they present this front, man, that they're strong and have no fear and there's no trembling in them. That's scary, folks. They're self-actualizing, sounds like to me. Paul was with the Corinthian believers in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. That is in the grace of Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Paul was inflicted with many persecutions, including a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that is, but we know that it was allowed by God, even the messenger of Satan. Paul was incarcerated many times and suffered untold persecutions for the cross. These modern guys, all of us, what have we suffered for the gospel compared to Paul? In my speech, he says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 2:4, in my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and of power. Here's the reason why, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. So we must rightly divide the word of truth. These vile wolves that have invaded the modern church that we shouldn't even be listening to. I don't know. We've got a Bible, don't we? Amen. We got Christian friends around us for organic fellowship. The Bible never said go to church every Sunday. It said forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. That doesn't take a church building. Get in the word with somebody, just one or more other people in your home over tea or coffee or water, whatever you drink, a meal. Let's get organic, saints. Amen. These vile wolves elevate mere sinful men to Christhood as if man is his own Messiah, his own Savior. This is utter heresy when they use terms like the Antichrist term, such as our greatness. No such thing in the biblical economy, in the divine economy. We got a great Savior of wicked men. Your greatness, they use these terms. There are many others. This is not even scratching the surface, much less being exhaustive. But as you learn to discern, you're going to stop and listen to what they're saying, and you're going to discern whether these men are preaching according to the original gospel. The book of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says that if they speak not according to this word, the word of God, let's see, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's a definition of a wolf and an antichrist. In verse 16 here in Isaiah 16, I'd be remiss not to mention this. He says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. See, that's what true under shepherds of the Lord do. They endear you to Christ and to the word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 20 through 32. That's exactly what Paul's doing as he cried. He said, day and night for, I believe it was 3 years, knowing that Antichrist wolves were going to enter in, not from the outside, but among you. And then he commended the Ephesians to the word of God's grace, the word of God, which is able to build you up. Amen. Build you up in discernment and in the power of God and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Because you see, you're not going to heaven outside the word and being one with it, not only the written, that endears you to and makes you one with the capital W, Word of God, Jesus Christ himself. And so I commend you right now, beloved, as we speak together here, we commune as we're getting ready to close this message. I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, amen, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, amen, an eternal inheritance. You're going to have to be one with the word of God. It's going to have to be your life. That's the only way you're going to escape this great seduction and the spirit of Antichrist, which has come upon the whole earth. Only those who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they demonstrate it by their love and obedience to him. 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks of even who's this Antichrist, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. That is an amazing phrase right there. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, here's why people are going to perish. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, those are inseparable. Don't tell me you're a disciple of Christ and you don't love the word of God. Who are you trying to kid other than yourself? You're not kidding anyone. Jesus says, he that has my commandments, seems like to me you got to study them to have them. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:21. Jesus defines who loves him. Those that hear the word of God, have the word of God, possess it, and obey it. John 14:21. So if you're not poring over the word of God daily, if you're a casual seeker of and reader of the word of God, you're not a disciple of Jesus. You have no guarantee of being with him. You won't be. You might have been saved in the past, but you are one of the foolish virgins whose oil has expired. You're empty, and you're going to be shut out of the eternal kingdom of God. Matthew 25:1-13. And for this cause, Paul continues, God, because they didn't love the truth, God himself, notice, shall send them strong delusion. God takes it personally when you don't love his word. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13:13. Wow. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. God's going to help you on your way if you don't love his word. See, if you don't love his word, it's because you don't love him. It's best to repent now. Get honest and repent and follow Jesus. That's the message. And then he finishes, that they all might be damned. They're going to hell forever, irrevocably. Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Wow, well, wow. You see, as we close, friends, there was only one that qualified to redeem sinners, and he wasn't a sinner. He was sinless. God says that fallen man is desperately wicked, quote unquote, Jeremiah 17:9, and cannot save himself, and that he found no one to stand in the gap, because a sinner cannot save a sinner. No sinner can save a sinner. None. So sinful man cannot save himself. If that were the case, God would be a fool for sending his only begotten son to die on a cross for our sins. He didn't do that in vain, beloved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is Christ dead in vain, or are these poison peddlers liars? Well, I've got my conclusion. You'll have to draw your own. Paul said, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If we could be saved by the law, we wouldn't need Christ. But every one of us have violated the law of God in a million ways, in a million times. Galatians 2:21, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And we know that God did not send his son in vain. It will judge us according to his son and the perfection of his son. Notice Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. He found none. No sinful man that could possibly stand in the gap between a holy God and sinful fallen man. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:19-21 as we close. To wit, Paul writes, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Notice, in Christ, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For he hath made him, that is Christ, to be sin, not a sinner, but sin, the sin sacrifice, for us who knew no sin. He was sinless. His Father was God the Father, not a natural man. He was the only begotten of the Father. Therefore, he had the blood of God in his veins and was God and has always been God and still is. He was all God and all man. Notice, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, it's only in Christ, who knew no sin and was crucified for our sins, that we are the righteousness of God, only in and as we are in Christ. There is no greatness or goodness of our own, saints. We're not wonderful. Outside of Jesus, we're absolutely wicked and actually desperately wicked and depraved. But thank God, in Christ, all of our sins are washed away. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We're one with the Father and in Christ. And it's essential to abide or remain, continue in Christ. And as we do, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So beware of false prophets, saints, that are peddling that we are something in and of ourselves. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening, and thank you for praying for the fruitfulness of this outreach. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.